development documentation, all available for free. When you get your laptop, when you get your Mac, if you install the developer tool CD, you get a wealth of documentation in the developer folder at the top level of disk. So the /developer/documentation has a lot of material. Sometimes it's an imposing amount of material, but it contains a lot of structured pieces of information that you need to become a Mac developer. They contain overviews of how the whole thing works, how the operating system works, how specific kinds of technology work. For example, the demo that I just showed you used a component called WebKit. WebKit is the guts of Safari. You can drop the guts of Safari in your applications. So you have the overviews, you also have the conceptual documentation, because some of these APIs are a little bit big and daunting and overwhelming, and you need something to help you get started using these systems. And a huge part of the developer documentation that comes with the developer tools are task-focused. So if you have a project where you need to use the address book, there is an entire document, very well structured, on how to use the address book, what the classes are, how they interact, what methods you have to call in which order to integrate with the address book services. Now, a lot of the Mac APIs are available in two or three forms. There's the Objective-C form, which is preferred, but if you have a legacy application or you don't like Objective-C for some reason, many times you can use Carbon, the plain C versions. It's a lot more work, but you can do it. You can use Java for some class, for some APIs. But using Objective-C is the best of all worlds. And pretty much all of the documentation for all of the services that you'll find in the developer documentation folder has examples for how to use that API with Objective-C. So that's why I'm going to be focusing on Objective-C today. The goal here is to plug into the whole stack of software that makes up Mac OS X. There are some very simple ways to get to some very simple services, opening a document or changing preferences. For full-fledged applications like iTunes or Safari, there are technologies like AppleScript that make it possible to perform some sort of programmatic manipulation of the application. For example, selecting all of the songs in a playlist in iTunes and changing their names, or changing the composer or the album title. You can do that programmatically with AppleScript. AppleScript may not be the greatest of languages, and if you like using Perl, here's another alternative, which is Chris Nandor's Mac Blue. The best way to interact with all of these services and applications is to use the system APIs directly, the Cocoa APIs, the ones that are written in Objective-C directly, and that gives you full access to the whole system. So there's this really cool program called Open that's available in Mac OS X. And here's a little script that I use when I want to open a whole bunch of URLs at once. Really simple Perl script. And the way I store URLs that I want to open in bulk is by just one per line, and occasionally I'll have a comment at the beginning of the line. So just reading all the lines at once, getting rid of the empty lines, and getting rid of the comment lines, and now I have a list of URLs, one per line. Okay. I want to go through them one at a time without typing them in. So I throw this into a while loop, and as long as I have URLs, then just pick one off the top and send it to Open. Open will find an application to open this little snippet of data. It knows how to open URLs. It sends them straight to Safari or whatever your preferred web browser is. If I wanted to open up the address book and I was sitting in a terminal, I could use Open minus A address book or any other application. I could specify an application I want to open a file with. And that's Open. It's a very simple kind of automation. Another thing that makes sense to tweak occasionally without going into a lot of detail is tweaking preferences. In Mac OS X, Preferences are just XML files that happen to sit in your library preferences directory. They're all in XML, they're propertyless files. It's a very structured format that the macOS stack knows. So if I want to look at all of my Safari preferences, I could just say, give me my Safari preferences. Just say defaults read, and I give it a key name. In this case, com.app.safari is a file in my library preferences folder. This will give me some textual representation that's easier to read than the raw XML. If I want to see if I have tab browsing turned on, I could say defaults read for this application, this value. If I want to change my preference, I can do that on the command line. And this is something that's very easy to throw into a Perl script and then throw inside of a system call. Again, if we're just trying to do bulk updating and of preferences with an install script or an add user script or something along those lines. You can look at the files in library preferences to see what your applications have saved and tweak them if they're not exactly working the way you would like. There are some preferences that an application doesn't make visible through its preferences panel, and you could go and manually do it here. You can manually update it here. And this is what happened when Safari was in beta. There were some preferences that didn't have an option in the preferences panel, so you had to do this. Again, you could go through and read the XML by hand, but you don't need to. The defaults command lets you just peek and poke values into the defaults files. In a sense, this is very similar to the concept of the Windows registry, but it's far less broken. So another way to automate stuff on a Mac system is through AppleScript. It's basically an application glue language. And an application like iTunes will expose a certain interface. Those are the things that you can inspect. Those are the things you can tweak. Anything that the application designers fail to expose to you is out of your control. Unfortunately, every time I try and use AppleScript, I go through the cycle where it's trial and error and error and error and error and error, and eventually I get to a point where something doesn't break. And then I go on to the next task. The language itself is very verbose. I really don't want to say anything more about AppleScript per se.
It's like HyperCard, actually.
It's a little bit like HyperCard, but HyperCard was less broken. Yeah, I mean, HyperCard was a lot more regular. And the other thing about AppleScript is that when you talk to an application, it changes the language. It adds new commands. It adds new verbs and properties. So stuff that you thought you could do by using AppleScript to tweak Safari may actually work a little bit differently when you look at iTunes or some other scriptable application. If you don't like the AppleScript syntax, there is an L. You can go to CPAN and get a copy of Mac Glue. Question?
Isn't there also a little bit of an issue that they've tried to make AppleScript more like the native languages, so if you're working with an international crowd, you kind of have to be aware that your English AppleScript may not work when somebody has their settings set in Spanish or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, AppleScript is only English. It's only English. They don't support other languages. There are hooks in the system that they could use potentially, but last I heard there were no plans to ever do it because it would be a hideously difficult project to translate the internals to another language.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
The application, they add new verbs too.
Yeah, it's like if you spoke German and all the Perl commands changed because you were on a German machine and all of a sudden something you got from CPAN stopped working. That would be kind of stupid.
Well, one of the things I run into, though, you have to be aware of if you are doing AppleScripts, especially if you're messing with tabs. Default locations like library and desktop maybe became something completely different in Spanish or Russian.
So right, that's that. The file and the directory names can be different, yeah.
The language itself is just all English?
Yeah, the language itself, you can only program AppleScript in, well, if you can call what AppleScript is in English, yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I remember that Apple tried to do something different where you can program in French and a French localization for a while. That was years ago. They must have gotten rid of it, thankfully. So you can automate stuff with AppleScript, but every time I try it, it takes longer than it would to do it by hand if I'm doing a very simple one-off kind of script. Because it's if you don't use it all the time, it's the syntax is kind of weird. So an alternative, once you know the verbs and the properties that an application exposes, you can look at the AppleScript reference for that application and tweak it using MacGlue. And this is what a MacGlue script would look like. You start by gluing to a specific application, getting a Perl object back, and then tweaking the object through method calls.
You don't have to give it a path to iTunes?
No, you don't. It knows how to look through the file system for an application called iTunes. So that's how MacGlue works. And if you want to do some scripting through the AppleScript interface, but you don't want to use AppleScript, here's an alternative. But I'm not really talking about AppleScript today. I'm talking about Perl. I'm talking about Objective-C. Those are a couple of ways that you can automate and glue together applications on a Mac system. But sometimes you really need to just talk directly to the COCO APIs. And for things like the address book, which is used all over, if you want to use the disk recording API, if you want to start tweaking sound and media files, rendering web pages, any of the a dozen other things that are available as macOS frameworks, you really need to start talking COCO. You really need to start talking to the Objective-C side directly. You can't rely on simple programs like Open and Defaults. You really have to do something more than AppleScript. So one thing that you could use is CamelBones, and I'm not going to talk about CamelBones today. CamelBones is a project from Sherm Penley to make it easier to use the COCO APIs on macOS. The one I'm going to talk about instead is called Perl OJC Bridge, which comes with Panther and presumably Tiger in later releases. It's installed on everything 10.3.0 and on. And what this module is a very simple shim between the Perl world and the COCO world, Objective-C. So in order to use these Objective-C frameworks, these Objective-C APIs that are documented on the developer documentation area on your hard drive, all you need to do is use these shims, and then using these APIs is just simply a simple matter of translating the syntax, because the Objective-C syntax is a little bit different than how you call it from Perl. It's one very simple rule, but it's not really a huge stretch. So the one example I want to talk about today deals with scripting the address book. Why? Because the address book is used anywhere. You put a few people in your address book, you see them pop up in iChat, you see them pop up in Mail, you can make appointments with them in iCal. You really can't look at the data directly. The data is in a Medicaid database that's managed through the address book framework, the address book APIs. If you want to do any interrogation, you really need to go through this layer. It's not like looking at the defaults files in your library preferences directory and throwing an XML parser at them. You really need to go through this one set of interfaces. So for this particular API, the documentation exists for C and Objective-C, for Carbon and COCO. And the example I want to talk about today is dumping the address book. So the way to start is by loading the foundation classes, which are available through the foundation module, which is installed alongside the bridge. The foundation brings in class definitions for the core classes that make up COCO. Things like bindings and strings and bundles and arrays at the COCO level. So these are Objective-C objects. So to load the specific library file, which is called a framework, it's a few lines of code. So just load the foundation classes, which brings in all of the support. The foundation classes deal in terms of this data structure called NSString. So I need to create a C, and I'm going to be creating it from a null terminated C string, not a native NSString class. So that method call, string with C string underscore, will create the path that I need, that I can pass to the bundle object.
Question?
Yes.
Will Perl know where foundation is?
Yes. if you use the system kernel, there are two modules that Apple installs alongside of all of the other core modules that, that kernel ships with. The first one is Foundation, which gives you support for things like NSString, NSArray, NSBundle. Those are the Cocoa data structures. The second one is PerlOpJC Bridge. So because the address book is not a fundamental API in Cocoa, I have to load it into my program space. So the way to do that is say, here's where it is, and I need to do that using an NSString. And then I tell the NSBundle class to load that framework. Sure.
So the question, like, why doesn't init with path just do that string to string translation?
Because I'm talking directly to Objective-C.
So
and it expects an NSString. It can't use the C string.
Why doesn't the wrapper do that?
Because I'm talking directly to the APIs. I haven't written the wrappers. I want to talk about talking to the APIs. I don't want to complicate things by talking to the wrappers.
Well, I'm wondering why the init with path method there, which is in fact a wrapper around the C API, doesn't take the Perl string argument and do this.
Campbell Bones may do that, but I don't use Campbell Bones. And I think that's one of the reasons why Campbell Bones exists.
It seems like a wrapper to get annoying to have to replay your strings every single time.
But at least this way I could look at the Objective-C code in the documentation and follow it word for word.
That's necessary, but we'll talk about that later.
Question.
Well, one of the answers to the C-string thing is that throughout Cocoa, it uses Unicode extensively, so you generally don't want it to just create basically like characterize it short across in C. That's probably one of the reasons there why you do have to do the converting, because a C-string in Cocoa tends to be so
if
you don't run across
as often
as you would like a Unicode string.
Yeah, all the Cocoa APIs deal with NSStrings. So you have to deal with it.
You're missing what I'm saying. All
I understand what you're saying, that that there should be a wrapper in it with path that takes a Perl string that does the translation. Yeah, that may be what Campbell Bones does, but I can't speak to that.
Does this have an Objective-C equivalent, or is this only for Perl?
This is Objective-C. This is the Perl bindings into Objective-C.
So you get to the end of Objective-C, you have to
Yeah. Actually, if you were doing this from Objective-C, it would be something like this. So this is the Objective-C equivalent for loading the framework. And again, this is only because I'm using a framework that's not bundled as part of the foundation classes. So you got to create the NSString because you can't create in Perl you can't create an NSString natively. You have to go through a constructor. And from there I want to create a bundle object, so that's bundle alloc, and then in Objective-C, initializing an object is a two-step process. First you allocate it, then you initialize it. So this returns an empty NSBundle object, which I then initialize with this path. So that gives me a bundle object, then I want to tell the bundle to load itself.
So are those silly underscores in the end of the method name?
The silly underscores are there for a reason. It's because in Objective-C, you have object, message, and then you can have messages with parameters. So here I have bundle load. But load is a method on the NSBundle class. It takes no parameters. So when I use it in Perl, it's just simply load. However, in Objective-C, where I have one of these messages that takes a parameter, it's the parameter name and a colon, that gets translated into parameter name underscore.
That makes no sense in Perl. I guess
this makes sense in Objective-C because this is just syntax.
Perl.
Say that again, please.
We're worried about programming Objective-C, we're programming Perl. I mean, you could have just, I guess basically what I'm balking at is that C would have done a one-to-one mapping literally into Objective-C and not the negative.
Yes. Okay. This is a very simple set of shims.
Okay.
We'll talk to Objective-C. The benefit is you can read the documentation and start using it straight away.
Okay.
The problem is that you have to do all of this, you have to work in Objective-C. So there's one rule. So when you have a method like bundle load in Perl, that would become something like this. It's a method that takes no parameters. So the name of the method in Perl is the name of the method in Objective-C. There's a method that takes one parameter. It's the parameter name with an underscore. Now that's applied for however many parameters the message has in Objective-C. So if there were some object like if I had some object here in Perl, I'd call that like this. And that's the rule. The reason why this rule exists is because the Objective-C syntax is just sugar. It's just syntactic sugar over the runtime. So this is what we see when we start programming in Objective-C, but the compiler generates C function calls that look exactly like this. So if you're using one of these shim layers, it's Perl OJC Bridge in Perl, but there's PyOJC in Python, and I think there's a Ruby OJC that does the same thing. The rule persists. So you can take whatever you see here, just change the syntax, and you can start doing that in Python and Ruby.
So like following Michael's concern, this is actually a lower level programming style than pure Objective-C. Because you're actually speaking to the C, the generated C code.
You're using the generated C code names, yes.
Yeah.
You're actually using them in a method-like manner. You're using them as objects and passing messages to them, invoking methods on them. It's just that you have to do the rule yourself to transform the names of the methods in the documentation to what they're actually called. Okay, so that's what that looks like in Objective-C, or in Perl, calling Objective-C code. Yes?
Well, quick question. I assume if you're not using the system Perl, you need to add the appropriate path here in pink?
No, it should find /library/Perl, which is where these are installed. As long as you're, Panther ships with 5.8.1 RC3.
Right.
So anything that's 5.8.1 or above
should
find it and should be able to load it.
Okay.
So don't even try doing any of this with 5.6. Okay, so just the recipe for loading a library, since you can't use Bootstrap like you would with an XSub. So the next thing to do is look and see how the address book works. Well, like I said, there's all this documentation. Where is it? Address book. All the Cocoa documentation looks like this. It's all installed in HTML. In the documentation directory, the developer documentation directory. And this is one of the typical task-based documents. It's very small, and it focuses exactly on this one API, this one framework. So it starts with an introduction and how to use the address book, and then there's the Objective-C reference on all of the Objective-C classes, and then scroll down a little further, and you see the same things in procedural C. That's the Harvard interface on here. Let's see. Okay. So the preferred interface to talk to this library is Objective-C. And all of the documentation for COCOA, all of this tax-based documentation will have example code in Objective-C. So you could look at this and translate this directly into Perl code. AB address book is a class, so shared address book is a class method. And it's actually defined as a class method when you look at the method, when you look at the object documentation, class documentation. Constructor with multiple message parameters. So this would be search element for property underscore, label underscore, key underscore, value underscore, comparison underscore with 5 values. And here is the same code in C. Here it looks simpler, but it actually gets a little bit more complex when you start looking at constructing arrays and then freeing them manually, because the COCOA interfaces will actually automatically free variables when the reference count goes to zero. All right, so I don't want to go into this in detail, but these docs talk about how the library works and how to use the classes and how the classes interact. So I'll take that as read. The documentation talks about these 10 or so classes that make up the address book framework. There's AB person, oh, there's AB person twice. AB address book is the main class. Groups in your address book are modeled through AB group. You can have images, multi-valued fields, like 3 or 4 email addresses for a person. Interface for searching. And the way to get access to these classes is simply to declare a package and say that its base class is this prologgsave-rich thing. So whenever I invoke a method on one of these classes, it won't be found, but when it gets to prologgsave-rich, it'll say, let me try the COCOA definition of this. Let me try with what I find in Objective-C land. So once I have the framework loaded, once I have my glue, my shims loaded, just use the API as documented. And it's a very simple translation. Method with no parameters, method with no parameters, and then method with a parameter has the trailing underscore. Now, the fun thing about this is that this is the interface that's published from Objective-C. But if I want it to be a little bit more intelligent, I can actually take these classes and add Perl methods on them. The Perl methods will be found first, so I can add whatever Perl-specific glue behavior I want, and then anything that isn't found, I'll go to look at Objective-C land, and then if it finds something, it'll call that method, otherwise I'll get method undefined on these objects and on these classes. So now we want to look at a simple program for dumping the contents of the address book. So, just start with the framework, create the shims, and just start doing stuff. The way the address book works, looking at the documentation, the first thing I need to do is grab a copy of the address book. Now, this method is shared in address book because all applications share one common address book for the user currently logged in. So when I add a new guy into my address book in iChat, I can send mail to him in mail or make an appointment with him in iCal. So that's good. If I want to get a copy of my record in the address book, there's a simple method called me. But I don't need that right now. An address book is a list of people. So there's this people method that returns some container object. that happens to be an NS array, I think, which is a COCO array variable. And to do anything with it, just iterate over everything one element at a time, as if it were a C array. This container object is a count, so go from zero to count, and get each object one at a time. Object.index is a very common method in Objective-C in the framework classes, so this is a very natural way to look at it if you're programming in Objective-C. There's a set of properties, which is a hash, for this person, and I will look at all of the properties defined on this record. So I need to do this iterator thingy, and for convenience, I do this little complicated thing to turn everything into a list of keys, so I can just display them in a sorted manner. So now that I have the keys that are defined on this record, because remember, you don't have to fill in all the information like birthday and spouse name on every address book contact. So when I have a list of all of the keys defined on this address book record, I can dump them out one by one. So now I have a list of properties and get the value for each property. Okay. Those values are going to be one of a small number of formats, like a date, a multi-valued string, a string, or something else. And I don't want to display the COCO representation. I want to display something more Perlish. So I'll talk about this convert thing in a second. There are a couple keys that I don't want to print when I'm printing this on the console. So image data, and knowing that this record is me, I don't really care about, so I'll just skip the loop. Convert the value, and then dump out the key in the value. Okay, so what does this do? So I don't want to give you my whole address book, but here's what it looks like. I have contact information for Chris Nandor. Chris runs Use Perl. I have something, which I scrub for his benefit, for his AIM Instant Messenger ID, his email address, first and last name, and a few other properties that the address book keeps to maintain its own sanity. So that's it. This program, if I let it run to its conclusion, would dump out the entire contents of my address book. I could use something similar to convert a list of mail aliases that I use in MUD and stuff them into my address book, just by invoking different methods and jumping through the right hoops to create NS strings and such. Again, reading the documentation to see what the right properties and methods are.
Where's the documentation for the Perl version itself?
And the foundation class, I don't think, has any documentation.
No, but if you dump the source, you'll see how stupid it is.
Yeah, if you look at the COCO documentation in the developer folder, it'll have documentation on the foundation classes. They are called the foundation classes. Those are things like NS string, NS bundle, NS array, NS dictionary. Excuse me?
What about your address book example in your code?
Oh, you know, just email me, and I'll give you a link. I'll try and put this up on my web space.
I thought all the talks were going to be on the O'Reilly site. Is that true?
If they are, nobody's told me about it.
Oh. It's in the fine print of your contract, probably.
Excuse me?
It's in the fine print of your contract, probably.
Is that our contest?
Yes, O'Reilly owns my first three children. Okay. All right, so just loop through the address book, dump it all out, and you're done. Let's see, how much time do I have? Pretty much out of time. So I said that there was this interesting little convert function. Now, dealing with everything in Objective-C land is a little bit nasty, so I wrote a few convenience methods. There's a multi-valued string that that the address book stores. So if you have multiple email addresses, you want to keep name value pairs for the email addresses. So that's the AB multi-value class. Add a convert method in Perl, and whenever I get one of these things, here's how I translate the Objective-C representation into something more Perlish. If I have a raw Cocoa string, here's how I convert it into something Perl can print, from an object into a C string. If I have a very simple value like 1, 2, 8, 9, that's a scalar in Perl terms. So just to let this convert behavior work, I add a method onto scalar. Calendar dates, when the record was added, when it was updated. This is the incantation to convert that into something that Perl can print. Dictionaries, hashes in Objective-C. Just a simple recipe to look at all of the keys and print the key value pairs in that hash. And then CF number is an abstraction for numeric values in Cocoa, and then just converting that into a string so Perl can print it. So that's Perl JC Bridge in a nutshell. If you have any questions, I'll be around. Find me in the hallways. Thank you.